thanks to the ESP to include us in this session. I would like to concentrate on some aspects of the economics of what the satellite operator, like what we do at Eutelsat, can analyze the situation and the trends and the changes. I will use, basically, for this presentation, a document you can find easily on the web. It is a report which is published by the Tory Group about the satellite industry. You will find it free on their website. I have no interest in it, of course, but they provide a kind of good collection of data about the satellite industry, and they have done that now for many years. So we can suppose that their methodology is quite stabilized, and it gives some meaning about the changes from one year to another. Thank you. Sorry. So on this chart, I have tried to describe the trends of the five last years, from 2010 to 2015. The first line is the revenues of the launching activity. The second one is the revenues of the manufacturing of the satellites. And the both items are describing the value and the changes of what we call the space infrastructure. Then you have all the equipment needed to receive the signals or the services, what we call the ground equipment. And the line number three, in brackets, is describing the value, the total value of the space-based infrastructure, space segment plus ground segment of the infrastructure. Then the line with four in brackets describe the value of what the satellite operators are providing as a service. Basically, TV, connectivity, telecommunications, backhauling, Earth observation in a limited way, but basically connectivity in telecommunications and televisions. And what I would like to show with these different figures, first of all, is to show that, and this is the ratio 4:1, which is the last, the line 4:1, you can see that on a longer term, the ratio between the value of the services and the value of the space infrastructure is always above 5. What it means? It means that the downstream of the services provided by the space infrastructure is 5 times the value of the space infrastructure itself. And it is quite stable. This ratio of 5:1 is something we are looking at very much in other publications like the works OECD has done about the space activities. You will find different figures. It's about methodology, but every time you will find that the ratio between the downstream of the services with regard to the cost or the value of the infrastructure is between 5 to 10 times the value of the infrastructure. In the UK Space Agency, they have published a report last year describing the value of the downstream 10 times more than the value of the infrastructure. So what is absolutely clear is that there is a huge benefit of the space infrastructure as far as the value of the services is far beyond and greater than the value of the infrastructure. That's the first comment. It's true that when you include the ground segment, this ratio is not so big. It's 1.5, around 1.5. However, it shows again that there is a wide interest in investing in the space-based infrastructure. Second remark. If you look at the graph of each line along the last years, you can see that two items have increased. They have had a growth rate quite high, the satellite manufacturing and the space services, respectively 55% and 25%. I have one comment about that. What does it mean? It means that the value of the satellites which have been produced, manufactured by the industry has increased quite significantly, and their revenues have increased significantly. The same for the satellite services. However, when you have 55%, 11% by year of increase in the value of the satellites with regard 5% of the value of the services, you can imagine that at the end, there could be a problem. In other words, the cost of the satellites is increasing, the value and their cost is increasing quite significantly. When the cost of the services or the revenue coming from the services is increasing significantly as well, but not at the same pace. So the question of the sustainability of how to finance the satellites with such a situation can be raised at the end. Until now, and for, let's say, 30 years maybe, most, not to say all, the satellite operators have financed their assets with their own resources. The public subsidizing was going to the manufacturers to develop the research and development and the innovation, which the satellite manufacturers took benefit of, but the subsidies were not going directly to the satellite operators. If we have this gap, which could increase still in the next years between the cost of the satellites and the cost or the revenue of the services, that could be a question. Should the satellite operators begin to think about getting public subsidies to invest in the future assets? I really believe, and maybe Christine will have an opinion for sure about it, I don't think, speaking on behalf of Eutelsat, that it is the way we are going to see for the future. In other words, this industry, I mean the satellite operators, have not been accustomed to ask for public subsidies. And they have worked to finance their assets themselves and to develop their fleet as their basic asset for their future development. So the first trend will not be to go to the governments and ask for money. But what it means is that if we want to reconcile the cost of the satellites and the cost of the services, we shall pressure the industry to provide more efficient satellites for less cost. And some of you maybe were at the conference in Paris this week, Euroconsult, which is the equivalent of the Washington one. All the themes of the discussions were about how to reduce the cost of the satellite. And the industry is making huge efforts to look at a new approach for the manufacturing of the satellite. In the future, and still basically these days, a satellite is a GEO. It is based on specific specifications for which the satellite operator is asking the industry to do its best, but a satellite is a one piece of art. It's not a production of series. It's not something you can believe or think about having equipments on the shelves. It's not yet fully integrated in 3D production series. All these changes in the industry of the satellite are coming now, and in order to reduce the price of the equipment. So what I would say is that the sustainability of the financing of the space infrastructure is not yet at stake. It could be. And in any case, it will need a big change of relationship between the manufacturers and the satellite services providers like Eutelsat or other companies, in order to make sure that we shall reconcile the value of the satellites and the value of the services. So these are the comments I just summarized. One more comment, the number three. the end result of all these efforts will be to reduce the cost of the gigabit per second or of the megahertz for the benefit of the consumer. At the same time, we will want to reduce the price of the satellites. We will want to reduce the cost for the final customer of the service they will get from the satellite. Another way to look at this discussion, again, coming from the same source of information. In end of 2011, you had 986 satellites. End of 2015, you had 1381 satellites. So an increase by 39% in a period of 4 years. This is absolutely transformational, I would say. This pace of increase of the number of satellites is a new wave of change in the space industry. A part of this new trend is coming from satellites which have been ordered on LEO and MEO orbits. Not all of them are on geostationary orbits, as at Eutelsat we have been working with for many years. But what I would like to show, when we look at the breakdown of the different functions these satellites are fulfilling, you can see that more than half of the satellites are dealing with communications, whether commercial or civil and military communication. So it's very clear that the mainstream of this industry is related to the transformation we have just been talking about, coming from the connectivity and the digitalization. In other words, the trend of the future satellite industry is absolutely connected, if I can say, with the trend of the connectivity process all over the world. Second kind of remarks. We are, until now, and for quite 40 to 50 years, the rule of the game has been first asked, first served. In other words, every time there was a position, be it orbital or more recently low orbit or medium orbit position available, it could be dedicated to a specific use. You have a situation today, as we all know, where the orbits are congested, and the list of countries waiting for the position is very long. So the question is, how can we still manage it for the future, such a situation of scarcity of the positions? And the problem we can see is that not only the geostationary orbit is congested, but if we don't find quickly efficient rules to manage and to regulate the LEO and MEO orbits, it will be the same situation. And it will come very quickly. When you have some programs of more than 900 satellites for one entity or different entities, it's really going to come as a huge problem very quickly. That's for the orbits and for the positions for the satellite. The same for the frequencies. The management of the frequencies is becoming more and more difficult because of the need to share the resources and the frequencies, which are a scarce resource, among more many actors and players. Basically, the discussion is between the terrestrial telecommunications and the space telecommunications. However, according to the large increase of usages, which is going to come, especially with the 5G and the mobile usages, this question will become even more difficult. So, I didn't stick exactly to the goals of the sustainable development you have talked since yesterday, but I try to connect with the key ideas. I think that we are a part of a sustainable development because we are people who are investing for a long-term infrastructure. A lifetime of a satellite is 15 years in geostationary orbit. It is a real infrastructure investment coming from the private sector. So, until now, as I said, the service provider is financing the satellite and the equipment with its own resources. It doesn't go to the government to get subsidies. And I believe that the sustainability of this model should be protected. Second aspect, which is absolutely key. The space industry and the space operators are providing services to territories. Of course, at the end of the day, there is a person who is making use of the service. However, because of the wide coverage, because of the flexibility of the satellites we have now, we are delivering the services not to one person, but to territories. And if you think about a sustainable development, this is a key difference. It is a key difference to the benefit of the space and satellite activities. Because serving territories means, and sometimes I'm a bit surprised that people don't say so much, that the process of urbanization in the emerging countries is a real threat for the sustainable development. Large cities of 15 million of people will not be sustainable. And we have seen already some big damages all these people are facing. So having technologies which can help to make sure that people in rural areas will find reasons to stay there and not move to the city is something of key importance for the future. Secondly, managing territories is also the best way to fight the digital divide, of course, and to make sure that all the benefits of the connectivity will not be only going to the people in the urban cities. The resilience to catastrophes, I don't want to develop the better way to control and to secure the services. And finally, the next stage and the next development of the connectivity will be mobile services. If you want to have services in plane, in train, in cars, when you are moving from one point to another, you will not do that with the terrestrial infrastructure, which the cost is increasing very quickly along the distance between the center and the periphery. You need to have systems which are basically based to serve territories, and that's what the satellite is providing. So, I really believe that we are a part of the sustainable development as understood by the international community, but, and that's my final remark, it's clear that the space management has also to be sustainable. And the question I raised about orbit congestion, agreed rules about the debris, the management of the rules between the different operators, players, has still to be strengthened. I think we have some basis, and you mentioned many of them, the treaties and the international law, but these norms are not yet ready to address the future and coming challenges. Thank you very much.